It was right around a year ago that I was having a real tough time finding the right car at the right price. I did a hard Target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, and doghouse in a 15-mile radius. Thankfully, my long and arduous search led me to Ryan Kimner and his great sales staff at Bellman Automotive in Troy, Missouri. Everything from the quality to the price to the service exceeded my expectations, and I know that they can do the same for you. Bellman Automotive not only has a wide inventory of new and used vehicles, but also has a top-notch service department and financing for everyone. You really can't go wrong at Bellman Automotive, 175 Turnbell Trail in Troy, Missouri. Give them a call at 636-462-3600, BellmanCDJR.com. This is the final segment of the night, so you still have time to get in on the Bellman Automotive phone line at 855-282-8255 or text the show, 855-282-8255. Eric from QC has been sitting in with us the entire time, having a good time.
Absolutely.
Doing a good job, too, for a rookie.
Well, thank you.
First time on the air. I could tell you're a little nervous, but you're powering right through it.
Much appreciated. Yeah. Appreciate the time.
See, even Giamatti's happy. So the big sports story of the day is that O.J. Simpson... It feels like it's 1995 all over again. O.J. Simpson is going to be loose on October 1st. He was granted parole, and he will be released from jail on October 1st. He did basically eight and a half years of a 33-year sentence for armed robbery and kidnapping. We talked about this with Mark in the first segment about, yeah, I mean, they threw the book at him. For considering what he did, I'm not saying that he should have been punished, but 33 years for what he did, yeah, it seemed a little harsh. But he will be home for Halloween and Thanksgiving, and we do have some sound from the parole hearing today. Giamatti, hit the lever, please.
Mr. Simpson, you are getting the same hearing that everyone else gets. I want to make that clear from the get-go. However, since we have a crowd of people here that have not taken advantage of our public meetings before in order to attend a hearing, some of the things I'm going to say are going to get a little bit lengthy. So you will understand everything, but it will be new information for some other folks.
We all make mistakes. OJ made his. He's been here, and from what I've told, he's been a model inmate. He's been an example to others. During the trial, I recommended that he serve 1 to 3 years. That's what I recommended to the DA. And I'm here to say that I've known OJ for a long time. I don't feel that he's a threat to anyone out there. He's a good man. I know that he does a lot for other people. And I feel that 9.5 to 33 years was way too long.
I'll agree with him there.
My vote is to grant your parole effective when eligible.
And I concur with Commissioner Korda and grant parole. And in addition, our decision, although difficult, is fair and just.
I concur with Commissioner Korda and agree to grant parole.
Mr. Simpson, I do vote to grant parole when eligible. And that will conclude this hearing.
Thank you.
One question about that. Does it have to be unanimous when they grant him parole, or how does that work?
I think it just needs the majority.
Just majority?
I could be wrong.
I was curious about that.
I think it is just majority. But yeah, there you have it. There's the sound. O.J. Simpson, just like that, back on the streets October 1st. Now he will be on parole. So now the real question is that when will he violate his parole and go right back to jail?
Before the Super Bowl.
You think it's going to be that soon?
I wouldn't doubt it.
You think he's only going to have like a couple months of freedom and then bam, right back in the slammer?
That's just my guess.
I hope you learned from the last time. Stay low.
Don't go to Vegas.
Stay low.
Yeah, well, there's thing number one. He needs to get the hell out of any place that's nicknamed Sin City.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's maybe step number one.
Little breaking news right now. Ole Miss doing a press conference. The AD, I believe his name is Ross Bjork, on Hugh Freeze right now. There is no buyout. There's no settlement.
So he's just like, that's it, you're done.
I guess because we always talk about how these contracts are guaranteed, I guess if something as much as...
Maybe a morals clause.
A morals clause is violated or something along those lines, using your phone to call an escort service.
What an idiot.
He just signed a new contract.
Yeah, he did.
So that's a lot of money.
What a dumbass.
That's a lot of money.
Calling escort service from a university-issued cell phone.
Burn across $25, champ.
So then are those players eligible to leave that school now and go somewhere else and play? Or?
I think
they'll probably give them transfer exemptions.
Yeah, they probably will.
Well, they'll give transfer exemptions to maybe the first-year players. And then obviously anybody who's signed and stuff like that to, you know, let them try to
might
jump
ship if
they want to.
Might be a good spot to go in and steal a guy and bring him somewhere else. You know?
Wouldn't be surprised if that starts happening.
Oh, yeah. It's probably going on
not
right
exactly
now.
Not exactly sure where their class was because this has been – I mean, he's been embroiled in stuff, you know, for about a year now, so I'm not exactly sure – where Ole Miss's football recruiting class is.
You know someone
place.
Like Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh, they're not even waiting for the body to get cold. They're moving in already on any kind of recruit they may want from that school. You're right. You're right, Eric. Absolutely. Going back to that audio.
Really quickly.
Yes.
I'm grabbing their 2017 football recruits. They have 2 4-stars. It looks like that's all they got this year.
So they didn't do so good.
They didn't do that great, but they do have a guy. Yep, this guy's gone. Oh, ironically enough, is this a defensive end? Defensive end from, ironically enough, Park Hill in Kansas City, Missouri, Chester Graves.
There you
go. 4-star who had signed a national letter of intent, but was
get
not
to work,
fully
Odom.
Committed. Yeah.
Get to work, Odom,
he signed
right
on February 1st in 2017, so there's a 4-star from Kansas City, Missouri sitting out there. 6'4", 220. Go get him.
Let's go get him right now. Screw OJ. We're not going out to Nevada to pick up OJ. We're going out to Oxford to pick up this kid.
There you go.
But going back to that OJ sound, his attorney who was representing him saying what a great guy he is. I remember when OJ got sentenced and he was talking about then what a great guy he was. He was saying about how OJ would help his kids with his homework. And then when his mom was in the hospital sick, he would bring OJ to visit her and OJ would sing her songs. And I'm like, that's just what mom wants. She's laying there in pain, you know, pneumonia or whatever, and then here comes OJ to sing, you know, Papa was a Rolling Stone. Who wants that when you're in the hospital? A singing OJ Simpson. I don't think that would cheer me up or make me feel any better.
No.
Hey, apparently he's a nice guy.
Yeah. Real nice.
Apparently just a lovely human.
Unless you're a waiter. If you're a waiter, then you're in trouble.
Well, Matt.
No, I'm not even gonna make that joke.
I had it right there, but you know what? It's one of those moments where you just that little person inside you says, "Don't get fired."
And I think Richard Justice is right. I think he's going to be kind of like, in a sense, like Pete Rose, where he is going to be making a ton of money off selling autographs.
Oh, reality show, I would assume is
a podcast. Yeah,
apparently there's
two
groups right now coming to him about a reality show,
and people are going to watch it.
Hey, speaking of conversations and topics that have a fuse attached to them, the showrunners of a show that you do not watch at all, but everyone else in the entire world does, Game of Thrones, the showrunners behind it, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff, they've announced their next venture with HBO.
Called Confederate.
It's called Confederate, and it's going to be a show it's going to be an alternate history show that takes place that when the South didn't lose the war. Slavery is alive and well in 2017, and it's going to take place exactly during the Third American Civil War and focus around characters on a demilitarized Mason-Dixon line. Thoughts on this one, Matt Burr?
Well, you know, it's HBO, so everybody's going to give it...
Are you going to watch this show?
I mean, like any other HBO show, I'll give it a try. I mean, hell, I even gave Girls a try. Don't clip that off. That sounded bad.
Do me a favor. Do you mind and clip that off?
Don't clip that off. That sounded really bad. But I mean, like any kind of show on HBO, I'll try it. it just sounded really. I'm surprised you didn't pick up on it.
Yeah, I did.
And you're quality control. How did you not pick up on it?
I just wanted to let it sit there and just hang in the void and just see what the feel was like. I'm very happy about what just happened here.
It's gonna be interesting to see how they go about it.
Yeah, they're gonna blow this by episode 3. Unless they bring in a staff of predominantly African-American people, just to make sure that they're getting the dialogue right. Because here's the thing about Weiss and Benioff. They can build a story. I'll give them that. They're good at character arcs. They're fine directors. They are the worst dialogue writers that have ever been given an Emmy that I've ever seen in my entire life. These guys suck at dialogue, and they need to get a ton of writers in there who can work themselves around the situation, or by episode 3, they will have a riot on their hands in social media. That's my call right now. They better get a lot of good writers,
because
the dialogue could blow this show.
So you're predicting only 3 episodes, that's it?
I'm not predicting 3 episodes. I'm predicting they get into a social media firestorm by episode 3 because the dialogue sucks.
I think you're probably already in one.
What do you think?
Well, no, they're definitely already in one, but I think at some point people... That's an interesting thing about this conversation. You know, should art and entertainment have a line? You know, should you edit your ideas based on the tone around
the
conversation?
I
think that's where the heart of this conversation goes. Is some people think that it's poor timing for them to get into this topic now, considering
is there ever a good time to get into
it? No, just considering where the political landscape is and just the conversation around race in this country over the last 2 or 3 years just seems to be a lot different than it was probably since the mid-90s. Well, so I think people are wondering, some people are calling it irresponsible, not directly, but that's kind of words they're using around it for coming after this kind of idea now.
Everybody is judging it, and there hasn't been one single scene shot. So I think everybody
won't be a scene shot for probably 3 or 4 years.
So I think everybody just kind of maybe needs to take a deep breath, calm down. Maybe this is actually something that could bring cultures together. You never know.
So a question on its success was Game of Thrones. Did it take a while for that show to gain traction, or was it pretty much just like episode
the
one?
The first season was a little bit slower. By the end of season 1, though, they captured a big audience, and then by season 2, they were given a bigger budget by HBO.
That'll do.
Because the thing HBO does now is that ever since Rome and Castle bombed the way they did after 2 or 3 seasons, it wasn't because of the writing or anything. It's just that the shows got so grandiose that HBO simply couldn't bankroll them. So Game of Thrones, I think they learned their lesson to kind of slow roll these big shows. So I wouldn't be surprised if this first season. And obviously, it's gonna you're in an alternate history world, so they're gonna do a lot of scene building in that first couple episodes. But again, these guys put together a big show, but it's also a show that's gotten itself in controversy while not really being that controversial. These are guys that found a way to take a show that's pretty much set in an allegory of 15th century Europe. They found a way to make people so mad, at rape scenes. Like, people were aware of it happens. They're like, yeah, you did that too gratuitous. Like, you find a way to tick people off in something that's fairly benign in the setting that you're doing, and you still find a way to anger people. Now you're taking that something that's a lot more sensitive, especially what we're talking about now, and you're going to try to put it on the silver screen like that. It's risky. The idea, you know, the whole foul characters around a demilitarized Mason-Dixon line, you know, it's a third American Civil War. That's, you know... It has a very Man in the High Castle feeling about it, but well, for some reason
let's see what it looks like first.
The World War II.